Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 370, The Mother's Surrender. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 12th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Good.
Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It's a special day. I recognize it might also be a difficult day for some, so I extend the grace and peace and comfort of the Lord. As we were praying this morning in our 9 a.m. prayer, which is open to everybody, by the way, we always have a wonderful time praying together. I heard that the Lord was saying to me, and I believe to others, I am the lifter of your head. That's from Psalm 3, right? Verse 3. So whether you connect that to Mother's Day or just your circumstances and what you're walking through right now, he says, allow me to, like I saw Jesus like going like this to chins, you know, to mine and others, like lift up your chin. See where your help comes from. That's another verse, right? But I'm the one that lifts your head high. He does, and we've got to let him do that, right? And so sometimes we can get very focused on our circumstances. My disciple maker, the leader of the base in Argentina in YWAM, she used to say, in Spanish, she used to say, stop looking at your belly button all day long. That's not going to do you any good. You need to keep your chin up. Look at Jesus. And so I'm going to start with a verse for the moms, but I believe the moms will also share this with everyone. Praise the Lord. When I say mom, I say that very, that's term, right? Maybe you're a teacher and you've been an influence, or you are of influence. Maybe you're a spiritual mother. Maybe you're a dog mom, a cat mom. It's all important, right? You're loving on somebody that Jesus has placed in your path. So, and the men can take this verse too. The Lord was encouraging me with this scripture this week, and I just felt really strongly that it's for everybody. It's from Romans 15:13, and it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Those are fruits of the Spirit, joy and peace. We have those on the inside of us. But so now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Fill you. We want to be overflowing, right? That we're so filled, full that we're overflowing. That you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read it in the Passion Translation. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually, that's all the time, never stopping, continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with hope. Hallelujah. Don't you read that and just get encouraged? Yes. Praise God. Me too. All right, we're going to jump into our message today. We're going to talk about some mothers in the Bible, but I believe what we're going to gain and what we can, the treasure that we can gain from each of these four women that we're going to discuss, these mothers, it can be shared for everybody. So open your heart and receive what the Lord wants to give to you today. God has placed a part of his nature, his character, into all people, right? And into mothers, into women, into mothers. And when we as people, when we line up to God's, we're made in his image, but when we line up and walk in the character, in the nature that he created us with, then we're, in a sense, we're yielding to what God wants to do. How he, like Tanya, geez, I wish she would just get excited up here a little bit. You know, what God has placed inside of us is meant to be shared. And so when we're yielding to, let's say I'm yielding to the love that God has placed in my heart, well, it's not for me. It's so that God's plan and purpose can be accomplished through me to the life of somebody else, right? And you could say that with many different parts of God's character and parts of his nature. It's so that when we're yielding to him and lining up and agreeing with those things he's given us and ways that he's planted us, you know, then God's his way, right? And people are touched. So we're going to look at four different women, mothers in the Bible. The first one that we're going to talk about was already mentioned today. Her name is Hannah. And there was a man named Elkanah. And this man, I don't know, tell me what you think, but was this a problem or a challenge for him? Use this. This man, okay, are we good? It's picking me up. Okay, it just sounds different than the other one. All right, I'm doubly wired up here today. Praise God. So this man, Elkanah, he had two wives. Maybe he needed a lot of prayer. I don't know. He had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, right? And Peninnah had many children, and she was envious, I believe, of Hannah, because it says that Elkanah really loved Hannah. He really cared about Hannah. But this Peninnah, who had many children, she provoked and irritated, many times until tears, Hannah, because it says that Hannah was not able to conceive and have children. It says that the Lord closed her womb. But this family, Elkanah and his two wives and Peninnah with all her children, they were devoted to the Lord. They were godly people, and they went often to the house of the Lord. So we're going to take a look at 1 Samuel 1. This is where this story is found. And so that was the summary leading up to where we're going to pick up this story. So 1 Samuel 1, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? This man Elkanah, oh my goodness. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. All right, so let's pick out some things here, some qualities of the Lord that we see in Hannah. We saw in the beginning in verse 7 that she was grieving, right? She was grieving the loss of what she didn't have, desperately wanting to be a mother, but not seeing that happen, right? But she, despite that, she was devoted to the Lord. She was committed and faithful. Wow. She made a vow to the Lord, right? That shows she was in relationship. She was in intimacy with the Lord. Despite her grieving heart, she was seeking God. She was going to the temple. She was after God's heart, right? And so we saw there in verse 11 that she had the faith to believe that God existed, right? And pray to him and make a vow. She made a promise, right? Saying that if you answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you, right? So then continuing on in the story, she continues to pray. She continues to seek the Lord. And many times as she goes to the temple, Eli, the priest, is there and he's observing. So this one time she goes and she's praying and he thinks, the priest, Eli, thinks that she is drunk because he observes her anguish. He observes her praying and like her lips are moving, the word says, but no voice is coming out, right? So he thinks this woman's been tilting back a bottle here. What's going on? So then we're going to pick up in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 1. And this is Hannah responding to Eli the priest, thinking that she is drunk. So 1 Samuel 1, verse 15 says, "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think that I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace." He's sending her in peace. He's declaring peace over her now. "May the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. All right, so we see this again here in these several verses, verse 10, verse 12 that we read, verse 16, that she is a praying woman. She's seeking God despite her circumstances. We could learn something from Hannah, right? Despite her circumstances, she's allowing the God of Israel to be the lifter of her head, not to just dwell all the time, right, on the grief and the sorrow. She's, because she could have sought, other sources. She could have sought the zodiac. She could have sought witchcraft, or which is, yeah, fortune cookies. Thank you. Many examples of other things that today, you know, that people seek when they're in distress, right? Or just run to other things when they're not seeing breakthrough, when they're not seeing their prayers answered, or circumstances and situations lining up to how they think they should be, right? Maybe a genie in a bottle somebody could run to. But she was going to seek God, right? And she, I love how it says she poured out her heart before the Lord. She was authentic and she was sincere, right? Because God knows our heart anyway. But when we empty ourselves of emotion, which sometimes we need to do, and we need to just cry out before the Lord, we need to empty our emotions so that that's not the thing that's leading us, right? We can't be a people that is led by our emotions, by our feeling. We're led, we're children, there's a word that says the children of God are led by the Spirit of God, right? But we are created with emotions, right? They're messengers. It's like tells us what's going on in our heart. And so sometimes when we're full of some sort of emotion, it is very good to cry out, get before God, get in the secret place, pour your heart out. We can be like Hannah and be authentic and sincere, because there's no hiding from God. If you're hurting on the inside, but you know, like a whitewashed tomb, like he called the Pharisees, you just put on a face even before God, then, you know, we try to do that at church sometimes. We come in and put on a face, but inside we might be really hurting or dying inside, right? But we can't do that before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He sees our heart. He knows our heart. But it shows faith when we pour out our heart to him. We empty out our emotions. We get that junk, so to speak, the heartache, the grief, that's what we're talking about in Hannah's case, out of the way. So then, you know, Eli said, well, go in peace and may God grant the request that you have asked of him. And she received it. Do you see that there? It changed. She said, oh, thank you. She's grateful. She exclaimed, and then she went back and she began to eat again. She was no longer sad. Like, she received that hope. She received that peace from emptying herself out before the Lord and then having, you know, a man of God, a person of God that was placed. And God places people of God around us to encourage us, to agree with us, to say, go in peace, let it be done, right? And so she received that, and then she went away doing better. Praise the Lord. So then the story goes on, and I'll just summarize this, and then we'll pick up another verse here at the end of the story, that the Lord remembers Hannah. He remembers her plea, and she becomes pregnant. Praise the Lord, right? So then 1 Samuel 1, verse 20, it says, and in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. Then the family goes on their annual trip to offer sacrifices to God. They travel to the temple, to the place where they make sacrifices to God. And Hannah stays behind. She says to Elkanah and Peninnah and all of them, you go on ahead. I'm going to stay back and I'm going to nurse this baby, her baby Samuel. And then she promises to take him to the house of worship and leave him there for good. Like, once I'm done nursing him, I will take him, as she had promised to Eli the priest, or promised to God, right? Making that vow to God. But for now, I'm going to stay back, and I'm going to nurture my baby. Her husband agrees to that plan. And then when Samuel is weaned, Hannah takes him to the tabernacle, the place of worship, and offers a sacrifice to God. Then she takes her son to Eli the priest. And so this is what she says. We're going to pick up in verse 26. So we're in 1 Samuel 1, verse 26. She says to Eli the priest, she comes back to the tabernacle, right, the place of worship, with her promised son. And she says, sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. What a declaration. She made that declaration right there. She set her faith there, that he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. Wow, there's so much in this story. Hannah is faithful to her promise. She made a vow. How many times do we make a vow? God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. And then God comes through, and then we don't come through, and we forget. We forget what we promised him. We forget maybe how faithful he was, right? But Hannah is showing radical obedience here and faithfulness to the promise that she made. Wow. And the parents, together with her husband, they're showing their devotion to the Lord. That this child that they waited for how long, right? Praying to the Lord, believing for him, then when they receive him, they receive the breakthrough, the miracle, they give him back to the Lord, right? She weaned Samuel, and then she gave them, and he stayed there at the tabernacle under the care of Eli the priest. Wow, that is quite amazing, right? She is a good mom. She's a praying mom. She's a mom who's authentic and sincere before God. She nurtured her son, but she was faithful, and she was modeling for her son that radical devotion and commitment and obedience to the Lord by giving him back to God for the use for God's use. And you see that Samuel, wow, he turns into an important, a significant prophet, right? And he was the one that was chosen by God to anoint David later. If you keep reading through the Old Testament, there's so many awesome stories in the New Testament. But we can learn those things from Hannah, and we can imitate her sincerity of heart, her seeking God, her pouring out her heart, her obedience to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's move on. Well, before I move on, I'll just say, God hears your prayer. God hears your cry. He sees your devotion to him. He has a covenant with you. He has made a covenant is a promise, a pact, right? And so don't give up praying. And I'm preaching to myself. Don't give up praying. Don't give up. Don't stop seeking God. No matter how discouraged you feel, allow him to be the lifter of your head. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now we have Jesus. She didn't have Jesus. We have Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. God will bring about his plan for your children. He will have his way, right? If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you keep devoted to him, he will make his plans for your children come to pass. Praise the Lord. Because it said, you know, as we said in verse 20, as we read, in due time, we don't understand God's time and we get a little impatient, but God's timing is perfect and it's good, right? In due time, she gave birth to a son because, and then she says in verse 27, I asked the Lord for him. What have you asked the Lord for? Don't give up on that. Don't keep pressing in. Don't keep keep pouring your heart out to God. Get those emotions out of the way. Give them to Jesus. Lay them at the feet of the cross so that he can have his way in your family, in your life. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to move on to, this is a mother set. Two mothers we're going to kind of talk about in the same story. We're going to talk about Moses's mother and Pharaoh's daughter. So we're going to go to Egypt now. From Israel, we're going to travel to Egypt. And in Exodus 1, when the book of Exodus opens, this is the time when the Israelites, they were multiplying greatly. You know, after Joseph was there in Israel and he was made, given a high position by Pharaoh. Well, Joseph's descendants, right, they were multiplying. They filled the land. And Joseph and his brothers, they all died. And then, you know, people in Egypt, they forgot about who Joseph was because he had a place of honor there in Egypt. But so then Joseph's family, his descendants were greatly multiplying. They were becoming very powerful and they filled the land in Egypt. And Egypt took these Israelites as slaves. Right. And Israel entered this time of great oppression by Egypt. They took them as slaves. They brutally treated them and oppressed them. And because Egypt was fearing that the Israelites would outnumber them and outpower them and, you know, take them over, basically. Right. They were threatened. And so Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave an order to have all the Hebrew baby boys killed. He told the midwives, when the Hebrew women deliver their babies, if it's a boy, you must kill him. Well, they didn't obey because they were obeying God, these Hebrew midwives. But so then Pharaoh puts out an edict that says every newborn Hebrew boy should be thrown into the Nile River. Okay, so then we go to Exodus 2, and it starts with a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi who married and they had a baby boy. And who was that baby boy? Moses. Okay, so Moses's mother, and this is the time, you know, Pharaoh had set this edict that all the Hebrew baby boys should be thrown into the Nile River. Moses' mother saw that he was a special baby, and she kept him hidden for 3 months. So let's pick the story up and look at Exodus 2, verse 3 and 4. So it says,
But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Okay. Moses' mother loves her baby. And she had such love in her heart for this child. And she did what was best to save him. She had to make a sacrifice. Otherwise, he would have been killed, right? And so I believe she was a creative woman. God must have given her this plan. Get a basket, right? And use your resources. She was creative and resourceful. Put your baby in the basket. She covered it with tar and pitch so the baby wouldn't fall out. So an alligator just couldn't snap him out super easily, right? And he was covered and like hidden in that basket. Waterproofed it, right. She was bold. Wasn't that a bold move to put your baby? I mean, the Nile River, I'm sure it wasn't free of crocodiles and alligators and, I mean, I don't know what else, scorpions and other things, you know, things that could have harmed her baby. But it was either that or he would have been killed, right? And so she was a loving mother. I think of Moses, like, loved him fiercely, right? And was bold. She took a risk. So she put him in the basket and sent him down the Nile River. Imagine you doing that. Imagine yourself in her place. Or if you're not a mother, a parent, or somebody else in your family that you love, letting them go, putting them in there, and see you later. Hope for the best. I'd be on my knees praying, right? God, protect that child. Protect that baby. Okay, so but then Moses' sister, it says, stood at a distance and was watching to see what would happen. So let's pick up the story. We're in Exodus 2, verse 5. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbed. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. Like, there's a basket. There's something over there. What is that? What's in there? Is it baked bread? You know, what's in there? When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. Imagine this scene. Like, let this paint a picture for you. She saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. Now, this is a three-month-old baby, okay, in the basket, floating down the river. Where am I? The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one, right? Her mother, Moses' mother. So verse 8, yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. This is the baby's actual mother. This is Moses' mother. Wow. How God worked that out. I will pay you for your help, she says. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. Wow, I love this story. This is so cool. All right, so we saw Moses' mother, full of love, bold, creative, resourceful. I'm going to do what it takes to keep this baby alive, right? She was cooperating. I mean, maybe she didn't know it, but we see the end of the story and how it all worked out. She was cooperating with God, right? She was yielding to the love inside of her to keep this baby protected and safe and alive. And she knew that that baby was special, it said. So I believe that was something from the Holy Spirit. This baby is special. She maybe didn't know that he was going to be the deliverer of the people Israel, how God was going to use this baby. But she yielded and surrendered and let him go into the basket down the river. And then enters, as we read, enters the scene Pharaoh's daughter, right? She had compassion. She saw this baby, despite the fact that because of her position of being Pharaoh's daughter, she could have, you know, she could have taken, you know, to have the baby killed or gone to her dad and like ratted out the whole thing. But she had compassion, right? She was an Egyptian. She probably didn't even know God, but she had compassion. She wanted to protect Moses. She wanted to protect him. She became then like his adoptive mother. She showed gentleness because she tamed, you know, that power of position that she had, being Pharaoh's daughter. And she showed mercy instead. So let's talk about both of these moms here. Like Moses' mother, sometimes we as mothers or just people were required to do something difficult for out of love for our child or for maybe somebody else in our lives. Something that's hard and that requires a huge sacrifice and like a letting go and trusting God, right? We have to let our babies, like Moses' mother, let our babies go. Place them in the basket, place them in God's hand, and let God take them down the river of life and trust that he has a good plan. Because he had a good plan for Moses, right? And when Moses' mother let go and trusted God, then what? God was released to work. And somebody with a compassionate heart, full of mercy of God, even though she probably didn't know God, was along the river of life, and here floats the basket, right? And she was, unlike Moses' mother who had to let go, Pharaoh's daughter was challenged to pick up. It was placed in her heart to pick up this baby. So you could think of yourself in both situations. If you're a parent, if you're a mother, a father, or you have somebody in your family, somebody, or even not a person, maybe it's something that's on your heart that you're praying for, something that you need to let go. We need to let our children go. We need to let those worries and concerns, we need to let things go and trust it into God's hands. Right? And when we do, then God can work out his plan. And so then you could also put yourself in the shoes of Pharaoh's daughter who's walking along the river of life, and here comes an assignment that her heart was moved to adopt this child. Who in your life is that baby in the basket that's floating by you, that God is saying to you, nudging to you, invest in this one. Disciple and mother or parent this one. Because there's a baby that somebody let go, or somebody's praying and believing for God's plan, God's best, but it might come, it's going to come near your path, and you see, and, oh, but I don't have time, God. Oh, but I'm busy, and I have this and that. Who is that baby or that person that God wants you to pick up and embrace and invest and disciple? We're a disciple-making church, right? And we talk about this a lot, maybe not enough. But that's a word for us today, church. We can put ourselves in both positions of letting go and then picking up. Praise the Lord. Both of those women had to surrender to God, didn't they? And do, like, he put those actions, both of them, inside of both of these women so that God's plan could be carried out, so that Moses would grow up to be a strong child, a strong young man, right? And then be the future deliverer, the man that God would use as an instrument to lead his people to freedom. Hallelujah. That's awesome. But there was a mom who had to let go, and there was somebody else who was called to be an adoptive mother who had to pick up. right? For God's plan to be carried out. Praise God. Okay, let's look at the last, the fourth of the mothers here. Praise God. The Shunammite woman. Do you know this story? A Shunammite woman of in 2 Kings chapter 4. She was a wealthy woman that was married, and she lived in the town of Shunem. So they called her the Shunammite woman. And isn't it interesting? Her and the last two women that we talked about, they don't even have names. They have a description, right? Moses' mother, Pharaoh's daughter, and this woman is the Shunammite woman. They're not even named in the Bible, but we can learn things from them. So she was a wealthy woman, and she offered hospitality to Prophet Elisha when he came into town, right? And she and her husband, she was moved to show hospitality and be generous. And so they built like a guest room onto their house so that he, Prophet Elisha, when he came into town, he could stay in this room, stay in this place. And so then to show his gratitude through his servant, Elisha asks the woman, like, what can we do for you? You're hosting us. You've opened up your home. You're so generous with us when we come to town. What can we do for you? They suggest something, and she says, no, you know, I've got everything I need. And so then this servant, his name is Gehazi, he, you know, communicates or relays it back to Elisha that she doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man. So there it is. Elisha then prophesies to this woman, the Shunammite woman, that, and he says, next year, that you will be holding a son in your arms. And she replies, oh no, like that, you can't get my hopes up. Like, don't deceive me by saying this, right? Because so that reveals her heart that she was longing for a child. Right? And so, like, don't get my hopes up. Don't deceive me. But sure enough, God's plan, he must have seen it. I believe Elisha saw it. He was a prophet. He saw it in the spirit, and he spoke it out, right? And then sure enough, she became pregnant. And at that same time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. Okay, so then we see, like, if we're, that's just the summary of the beginning of the story in 2 Kings 4. So we see that she's generous. These are qualities of the nature of God. Generous, she was hospitable. And we see here, it's revealed, like, as we said, her desire to have a child. So the story continues. And one day, when the child was older, he's out in the fields. He's helping his dad. He's working with his dad, and he's harvesting, right? And something happens. We don't know exactly what, but the word just says that he cries out, oh, my head, you know, that his head hurts. So the father sends one of his servants to carry the boy home to his mother. I wonder about that. Like, let your mother deal with this. The mom does blood. Mom does injuries. Mom does Band-Aids. Like, send this. We don't really know how far away these distances are, but send this child back to be with his mother. So the boy arrives home, and she holds him, the Shunammite woman, her husband, for a servant and a donkey. Like, send me a servant and a donkey so I can go to see this man of God and return quickly. And so let's pick this. This is conversation about this, her getting quickly to where Elisha is with her husband. So 2 Kings 4, verse 23. So that's all the information that the mother has told. You know, send me a donkey, send me, you know, means so that I can go there to the man of God. And so the husband says in 2 Kings 4, verse 23, says, why go today? Like, what's going on? Why do you need to go see the man of God today? It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. But she said, it will be all right. Her son just died. And all she says is, it will be all right. That's a positive declaration for a bad situation. right? It will be all right. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, the servant, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi. Now she's speaking to the servant, and she said, yes, everything's fine. Verse 27, but when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is deeply troubled. He knew something was happening, right? She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. Then she said, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And I didn't say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Wow. Right? Like, I was desperate. I wanted a child. And didn't I say when you said, like, no, if it's going to end bad, like, don't deceive me. Don't get my hopes up. And now God's given me a child. And now this child has died. Like, she's only really letting her true, you know, like, what's going on a little bit out with the man of God. She didn't say that to her husband or to the servant, right? She just said, everything's going to be all right. She was keeping her mouth shut for the most part. She wasn't making, negative remarks or going into it like, oh, my son has died. It's just so tragic. You know, none of that. We don't see that. She's positive. She's full of faith. We see that in verse 23, what we read, verse 26. Right? Wow. I don't know if I could, help me, Lord, that I could stay that calm in that kind of situation. That she is exercising self-control, right? And she respected and she honored, trusted the man of God. So, mothers, you in the natural, you may see your child dead spiritually, but let's learn something from the Shunammite woman. That she didn't allow the circumstances to dictate her words and her behavior. So mothers, no matter what situation you see your children in today, it may look bad and spiritually they may be dead and they might not be walking with the Lord, but don't speak negative words over them. Don't, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Okay, we can learn from this woman. Help us, Jesus. If when I get to heaven, I'd like to sit down and have a coffee with this woman and say, you know, talk to me. I'd like to do that now, but praise God. She stayed calm, right? And just a thing about words, mothers don't release negative words about their children. Mothers, our role is to release positive words, cooperate with God, cooperate with what his word is saying. And no matter what you see, we can use our mother. Did your mother tell you this? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So we can activate that one, right? If you can't say anything nice about what's going on with your child, don't say anything at all. But when in doubt, look to the word and speak that, because the word is life, right? And it's healing and it's freedom for your children and or whatever circumstance or thing that you see. So praise the Lord. So how does this end? Elisha sends his servant Gehazi to take his staff. He says, go back, take my staff and lay it on the boy. Like, basically, go quick, do not pass go, don't talk to anybody, just lay the staff on the child's face, and, you know. And so then the mother says to Elijah, she says, I won't go unless you go. Like, she's putting him responsible here. You need to go, right? So then she and Elisha return also. So the servant gets there. He does what he was asked to do. He lays the staff on the boy's face and nothing happens, right? So he meets Elijah on the path and says, you know, the child is still dead. So let's pick this up in verse 32. So 2 Kings 4, verse 32. Elijah arrives. It says, when Elijah arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. And then he laid down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, "Call the child's mother," he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, "Here, take your son." She fell at his feet and bowed down before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Wow, wow, wow. Isn't that amazing? She didn't give up. She didn't declare a bunch of negative words about what she saw. Or she knew that her son was dead. She kept her eyes on the man of God, right? On the Lord. And she yielded. She surrendered. There we go of surrender. There's a theme here. Surrendering those emotions to the Lord. And she just zipped her lip. She trusted the man of God. We could learn from that too. Trust the people that God puts around you to encourage you to speak the word of faith. None of us is created to be a lone ranger. So her attitude was, God gave me this child. Like, she's using her authority, right? God gave me this child, and this child belongs to God. So God will have his way. And that's the attitude as parents or family members that we're contending for breakthrough for our loved ones. We have to trust that God has them, right? And don't give up and don't speak negative. Praise the Lord. All right. So we talked about these different women. We can surrender to the Lord like Hannah did. We can be persistent in praying. We can not give up. We can pour our heart before the Lord. We can be faithful and devoted to God no matter what. We can surrender to God, and he will have his way. Praise the Lord. We can be like Moses' mother, who loved fiercely, loved her child fiercely, and wanted to protect him. But in the protecting, she had to let go. She had to let that baby go in the basket down the river and trust that God would protect him and keep him and have his ultimate plan in her child's life. We can be like Pharaoh's daughter who after one mother's letting go, the basket floats by and is moved with compassion to pick up that baby that comes her way. We have to surrender to God. We can be like the Shunammite woman to live generously. We can be hospitable with those that come across our path, especially the people of God, right? We can be a blessing to them. We can trust and honor the people that God puts, the people of God that he puts in our path. And we can silence negative remarks in the middle of situations and circumstances and only speak life, only speak positive, and we will see that God will turn it around for good. He's an expert at doing that. He knows how to do it. And so, but moms, parents, and anyone else here, you know, that knows anybody or people or has any sort of situation, it's about surrender. It's about surrendering that thing, that person, your child, surrendering your emotions so that we can be led by the Spirit of God like these women did, so that God has his way. God's plan will succeed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to do like a prophetic act to kind of respond to this word today. So Beth and a few people there, Carissa, are going to help me. And we have cards. So there's 3x5 index cards. So everyone's going to get a card. And I want you to, does everyone have a pen? They maybe have some extra pens too if you need it. But there should be pens in the back of the seats, in the pockets. So I want you to write down, if it's your child, the name of your child, or the name of somebody else in your family that you need to release, that you need to let go of that control, that you need to release and place them in the basket. Or it might be a situation. Maybe it's, you know, I've been looking for a job for a long time and I can't, you know, you need to release that to God. So whether it's a person's name or a situation, now somebody else is going to see this. So don't put like your child's social security number on there or anything like that. Okay. Or like write anything personal, super personal that you wouldn't want somebody to see. I just wanted to tell you that because somebody else is going to see it. And you there at home watching on live stream social media, you can do this also. So just get a piece of paper, write down the name or names of your children or somebody that has your heart, maybe keeps you up at night, right? Or a situation that keeps you up at night that you need to release, like Moses's mother, release into the basket. So, are you finished? Raise your hand if you're finished. Not yet. 1, 2, 3 people. Okay, I'll give you another moment here, and then we're going to pray. Yeah, and I'm going to do mine, so don't take it away. But I'll pray. We're going to pray. And so when the basket is going to come around, we have two different baskets. The other one's in the back. So I'll send this in a second. So we're going to pray. So as you, this is your prophetic act. As the basket comes around, you're going to, you know, in your heart, you're releasing this situation, this child, this person to God, like Moses's mother did in the basket. Does that make sense? Everyone following? Yes. Okay. Does anyone need more time? If you do, then you need to end the story. Okay. That's all right. Okay. So why don't you stand up with me? I'm just going to pray. And then once I start praying, then you guys can release these. So Father God, we just release our children to you. We release the people in our lives, our loved ones. We let them go like Moses's mother did, out of love, Father, because you are greater and we trust you, God. We honor you. We trust you with our children's lives. We trust you with our family members' lives. We trust you with that situation that has kept us up at night. And Father, we don't want to be robbed of peace and joy anymore because of these situations or what we see with our eyes, with our family. So Father, we let them go down the river of life. You are good. You have a covenant with us. So your safety and your protection is over and follows our children and our loved ones. We thank you, God. They are yours and they are in your basket and you take care of them. So then you can bring just one, put them all in one basket. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay. So now we're going to switch shoes. We're going to put ourselves in the role of the Pharaoh's daughter, because at the same time, right, that Moses is, I'm getting all the possessives mixed up. Yeah, Moses's mother had to let go in order for God's plan to be activated, right? And the basket's coming down the river. Guess what? Pharaoh's daughter was a part of God's plan in picking that child up. So I'm going to invite everybody to come up here. You can kind of, we'll do this in a second. And this represents, this is prophetic for us being, we're a go church. We're a disciple-making church. And so you're going to come up and you're going to pick up one of these babies or one of these situations that was that somebody else is trusting God and letting go. And it's like, you know, when we go out on the streets and we're praying for people and we're sharing the gospel, I'm trusting that God's sending laborers to my family members in New York State, right? And blessing them and sharing the gospel with them. Like the basket is coming along with that baby in it for somebody else to pick up. So we're that somebody else for somebody who's praying, for a praying grandmother, for a praying sister, a praying brother, a praying son, you know, praying for their loved ones. So you're going to come and pick a name here. And I want you this week and onward to pray for that person. You might know who the family member belongs to, and you might not, and that's okay. Pray for that situation or pray for that person. And also as you do this, and you can, after you get back to your seat, you can write down, is there somebody that God has been nudging you or that you recognize that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is a baby that I'm floating in a basket past you. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's somebody else in your family. Somebody that you need to pick up. You're going to pick up one of these. But then in your lives, maybe there's a baby that you need to give your heart to that God's saying, I want you to invest in this life. I want you to disciple. I want you to parent this, you know, mother or this child, this son or daughter. Does that make sense? Are you with me, church? Yes? Okay. So you're going to come up here. You're going to pick a name. You're going to pray for that name. And then you can write, you know, somebody else that God has been encouraging you, or you ask the Holy Spirit, who do you want me to pick up out of the basket like Pharaoh's daughter did? Be moved with compassion and mercy so that God's plan can come to pass, because God has a plan and a purpose and a hope and a future for all of us, right? And somebody's praying for that, you know, that child, that baby to be picked up, that God's taking care of them. So let's pray, and then you can come up and do that. Thank you, Father. We thank you. Oh, because your heart is so compassionate. Father, you picked us up, a baby that was neglected or abandoned. Father, maybe that we didn't feel like we belonged, and you adopted us. You picked us up out of your mercy and your compassion. And Father, we thank you for that love, that compassion. And we want to be used. We want to partner with you in what you want to do in people's lives. So as we pick up this baby, Father, we commit to praying for this child, for this situation. And we thank you for those in our lives, Father, that you will help us and you will strengthen us to reach out, to invest, to do what you're asking us to do, to parent this child in our lives. We thank you, God. We bless you because you are good and you are faithful.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.